Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 273, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Monday, January 30th, 2023. My name's Jack O'Brien, aka I've got plumper thighs. Look at these quads and you'll realize I've got plumper thighs, working the legs for the Daily Zeitgeist. That is courtesy of Right to Post, little hungry eyes, Eric Carmen, aka. I think we looked up Eric Carmen. He's like wild problematic at this point, but I don't know. I'll fact check me on that.
Did
internet.
You say Eric Cartman? Because he's that. Very yes. problematic.
Oh, he yeah, that's right. They made a character about him.
I think he's misunderstood, okay? I'm sick of this cancel culture.
Fed that kid's parents to him, but other than that, I feel like he's pretty chill. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in my second seat by a hilarious and brilliant stand-up comedian, writer, actor, improviser, biomedical engineer. You can catch her on stages across this great land. It's Holly B. Gunnally!
Oh my goodness. Wow, to have my name yelled with the correct pronunciation feels so good. It feels so great.
Feels good on this side, too. You've got a great name. Holly B., it's great to have you. You are filling in for Miles, who...
Not just at the Daily Zeitgeist, but just in regular life.
In life,
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been hired as his stand-in.
So. His life stand-in?
Yeah. He just needed a break, you know? He needed to Bonnie Bear for a minute, and now I'm filling in.
We got a brown person. It's all the same, right?
Same. Same height. I don't know.
Are you 6'2"?
Sure.
Yeah. Miles is tall. And I'm always just surprised every time I see him again for the first time in like a couple weeks. I'm like, man, you are
he's got short man energy. He feels like a short person. He should be
short.
That's
not true.
It's because he's approachable. He's like secure with himself, you know? So he, yeah. I don't know.
He has, you know, I don't know. He just has the energy of somebody who is not defined by their height. And then when you see him, it takes a moment to be like, oh, you are taller than most people.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, Dave, I'm not allowing you to cast aspersions on my comment about Miles being a tall gentleman.
Dave's here to start drama.
I'm tall, too.
No way. I don't believe that at all.
I'm 7'2", the same height as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, I'm not. Just kidding. I also have short man energy. That's why I bring it up. I can feel the camaraderie between me and Miles when we hang out.
Yeah. Well, that third voice you keep hearing is someone we're thrilled to be joined by, a very talented writer, humorist, podcast host, whose work you've seen in the LA Times, Guardian, New Yorker, if you've ever heard of that periodical publication, New York Magazine, You've read him at all of those places because you're extremely well read.
Yes, I've been everywhere.
I've been everywhere, man. He's the consummate podcast host, podcast guest, professional wrestling expert. Please welcome the hilarious, the fashionable, the brilliant Dave Schilling!
Hello!
Hi, guys. How you doing?
This is how we're talking to each other the whole episode!
We are so far away.
I love not being the loudest person on a podcast. That never happens to me.
I know. I was taught to project. When I went to podcast college, they said, use your outside voice.
Hit the back of the room with extreme prejudice. Yeah.
It was hard for me to shake that directive from elementary school, where it's like, use your inside 6-inch voices, not 6-foot voices. But when you become a professional podcaster, you got to use that 6-foot voice, okay? You got to get out there. That 6'2" voice, just like Miles Gray, 6'2".
Yeah, that 6'2" voice. Yes, yeah, exactly.
The extreme prejudice reaching the back of the podcast room is just all the slurs that podcasters normally say.
Right. That's right. That's how some podcasters hit that back of the room with extreme prejudice. Yes.
It's the hard R syndrome.
That's where they keep the minorities, in the back of the room. So
that's right. That's right. All right. Well, Dave, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Paula V, we might even get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. We're recording this on Friday. I don't believe they have released the video of the police murder in Memphis, but we do have a story about who those police officers were. They were part of a special task force that was aimed at stopping street violence, crazily enough. So we're going to talk about these sorts of task forces, how they get covered, how they come about, and why they aren't ever held to account, and hopefully will be now. I don't know. We'll talk about Trump's return to Meta. They're welcoming Trump back on Meta and all his campaign money, because apparently he was like the biggest spender of all time on Meta in terms of political ads. Before we get to any of that, Dave, we do like to ask our guest, and you may know this, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I recently Googled martini glasses, specifically Nick and Nora glasses, because I broke one in the sink. And I'm a big martini drinker, and I found a set of 4 from the Museum of Modern Art in New York's website. I don't know why the MoMA is selling martini glasses.
They have like a whole like home goods store connected to that.
Yeah, it's just like
museum.
An IKEA if you walk.
And I kind of like some of the stuff, and then I feel bad for liking it.
It's kind of fucked up that they're horning in on IKEA and Target's whole thing. Like, I don't think Target's going to start showing Marc Chagall paintings. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they're going to start getting sculptures from Damien Hirst at IKEA. This is not appropriate. Let's stay in your lane here.
How dare you? The art at IKEA is incredible and magnificent. And I could stare at it for hours getting lost there.
Yeah, yeah. I understand what you're saying. I get that. But I'm talking about fine art. Not just, you know, like a tableau of a bowl of fruit or something. Or a magic eye. Do they have magic eye paintings at IKEA?
Yeah, what is the art at IKEA? Like, that actually is a really good question.
It's very generic. And it's like, I feel like them and like the people who put art in hotels have to link up. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're on the same wavelength.
A black and white photo of a guitar. Triangles everywhere. Lots
I'm guessing
lots
there's
of
like
triangles.
Live, laugh, love stuff too, you know?
Oh, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Although that does feel like a little bit outside of IKEA's wheelhouse, the live, laugh, love.
That's more of a Target Walmart.
Right.
Something in that font, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to think, like, would it be, okay, I'm looking, there's a Sander Patelsky photograph of a pool. So like, they have, like, I'm sure they have like somebody who has good taste, like buying art for them at IKEA.
Yeah, we're just dogging on this person.
You know, basically, the MoMA is IKEA without the meatballs, is what I'm here to say. The art at IKEA is just as good as the art at the MoMA, as long as you're not a materialist who cares that they're not originals.
I am always at the MoMA screaming, where are the meatballs?
You do that.
I do that a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
One could say that Lincoln Berry sauce is artistic. It is an expression of humanity's greatest achievement, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
True.
I do sometimes wonder that. Like, when I talk about the Cheesecake Factory menu being, like, the thing that will be remembered from American, like, America's contribution to, like, civilization, they'll just be, like, marveling at our ability to put that much food together and, like, put it out and, you know, just get it all together.
I don't think it's about the menu itself. I think it's about attempting to read the menu in a poorly lit room.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's the experience. It's performance art that engages the audience.
It's funny that you say that, Pallavi, because the people that eat at Cheesecake Factory tend to have very bad eyesight because of their elderly nature. I don't know if only old people go to Cheesecake Factory, but I think it's predominantly people who maybe should have some lights on. Maybe we should crank that dimmer a little bit so that we can see what we're shoveling in our mouth.
Crank that dimmer.
When you're in Florida, you'll occasionally see people with little flashlights on their keychains, like the elderly, like have little gadgets that I'm not aware of. But
I mean, we do it with our phones, right? We
put the
flashlight on for sure.
But they've got little like squeezy flashlights.
I want to show up to the Cheesecake Factory in a full-on fucking like helmet with a flashlight on it, like I'm
like
going
a big ass,
spilling
like
shit.
I'm a miner, oh, I'm gonna go rescue some Thai children. And also
some mozzarella sticks.
I really want some mozzarella sticks.
But I do wonder, like, will IKEA be remembered? Will that be a thing that people look back on? Because it is like the predominant thing from our. It will be the predominant, like when they're digging around in the rubble of the U.S. Mostly, what they're going to be finding is probably IKEA furniture, right?
Yeah, I think that,
maybe.
I think that there's a real serious point to be made here, guys. That the abundance that we all enjoy today, all the furniture, all of the food, all of the things that we have that we take for granted are going to be not possible in the next 100 years. So people will look back on the just pure greed and avarice of our society and be like, how did they do this? People lived like this? Well, they got to get an appetizer and a main and then dessert?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They're going to be shocked. So, I think that IKEA and Cheesecake Factory and Sizzler and Hometown Buffet and Costco are all going to be considered like these quirky relics of a different time. I don't know if it's sad or not, but it's going to
happen. The way we view like Great Gatsby, like the way people are like, we're having a Gatsby party. They'll like have
IKEA
parties. Yeah. With like three meatballs to be like
Kylie
we did
Jenner's
it.
Great-grandchildren.
Right.
I learned this week that IKEA is a nonprofit. Did you guys know that?
What?
No.
That feels that feels like a tax dodge.
Exactly. I feel like it is, and it's technically a nonprofit.
Brilliant. Yeah. IKEA is technically a religion, like Scientology. They don't have to pay taxes.
I heard Warren Buffett is donating his entire fortune to IKEA.
IKEA?
He's such a good guy. That's so cool. He's my favorite. He's my favorite spiritual leader. What is something, Dave, that you think is overrated?
Oh boy.
Not
okay,
IKEA,
this is
for sure.
Definitely not. No, those meatballs are slamming, as we established. I'm gonna stick to movies because this is Oscar season. There's a lot of controversy out there about what movies were nominated, what movies weren't nominated. So something that is under or overrated is what we're starting with, right?
Yes.
Okay, an overrated movie that I saw this year. I am going to go with Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I know I'm going to have to turn in all of my black cards and whatnot for saying this, but I found that movie very boring. It was long, and I didn't really connect to any of the characters. I really missed Chadwick Boseman. And so I feel like
I missed him too.
Yeah, I think we all did. I don't know if I'm spoiling anything, but at the end, he's got a kid, right? He had sex once. Black Panther had sex once, and he's got a little kid at the end who's gonna, I guess, grow
That's
up
fun.
To be Chadwick Boseman recreated with artificial intelligence or something. You know, at some point we're gonna get that. And I got kind of weepy with that, but like for the most part, I was so bored with the little guy with his little wings on his feet and all the water. At the same time, I loved Avatar. So there's something wrong with me here.
Okay, but have you considered that he's incredibly hot, the guy with the wings in the water?
I did consider it. I took a beat. I said, okay, let's see. Do I like this movie? I'm not sure. That guy is really hot.
He is super hot. I still don't like it.
Maybe if he'd been in a better movie. But I agree. He's a handsome, sexy guy. I'm fine with that.
Okay, here's the only thing that I thought was like a little bit strange. I feel like it was a little bit predictable in who the Black Panther was going to be. And I felt like they had that whole MIT girl, that character wasn't like fully developed enough. Mm. It felt like kind of an add-on. But I'm such a superhero head. I was like, fuck it, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I just go into those movies empty head, don't care, and I have fun.
Young, dumb, and full of cum. Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
I don't know if everybody is comfortable with me sharing this spoiler too, but if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to know who the new Black Panther is, you maybe skip this, okay? So here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so the thing about
Tony Stark.
Black Panther is that it's really weird that Rachel Dolezal ended up being the Black Panther.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I thought it was a perfect choice. You know what I mean? To carry on the work of Chadwick Boseman, who better than Rachel Dolezal?
One of the most important Black people of my generation, certainly.
True. I do hope that somebody did skip forward and make that joke. That joke's only for those of us who just don't give a fuck. Yeah.
What's weird is the new Black Panther does have an OnlyFans.
Yes.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's got one.
Rachel Dolezal, not the new Black Panther.
Yeah.
Also, little wingies on the feet that you like fly by sort of ice skating around through the sky on is a fun little thing that,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just like they have Superman flying just through like sheer tyranny of will and alien superpowers. And like, you know, I feel like that's usually how we see it. So a fun new little way for somebody to fly around that allows you to say little wingies on the feet is a win, I think, for the superhero genre. I did not see the movie. I saw that Doctor Strange movie by the director who I really like, whose name Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've liked a lot of his movies. I saw that Doctor Strange movie and I was like, this is the last Marvel movie I ever have to see. I think I think I'm out.
I will say the new Black Panther was better than Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Black Panther had Rachel Dolezal and Doctor Strange didn't. That's the difference.
That's the big difference.
Although, if Rachel Dolezal is anything, I feel like that should be named Doctor Strange. You know what I mean?
Am I right over here with that?
Hey-o.
Hey-o. What is something you think is underrated, Dave?
Okay. This is going to be more controversial than saying I didn't like Black Panther that much. I saw The Whale yesterday. Starring our good friend Brendan Fraser. It's 2 hours of him going,
friend of the show.
People are amazing. Over and over again. Which is, now I just do it to annoy my girlfriend. I'm like, hey, Dorothy.
People are amazing.
People are amazing. Oh, it's amazing. People have slagged this movie off a lot. And I've read a lot of reviews that have been very negative towards the film, understandably so. I think the way that it handles obesity, I don't even know if we should be using the word obesity. I feel like some people feel that's a trigger or a slur, but bigger people, the way it handles it is not great. There are scenes where he's like bathing or trying to do various things, takes his shirt off, and this music plays where it's like the creature from the Black Lagoon just popped out of a bathtub or something. It's really kind of like horror movie adjacent.
Jesus.
And it's also like, it's deeply, deeply not subtle. This is one of the most obvious movies of all time. But I was also moved by it. I don't want to get too deep into talking about The Whale on this podcast, but I did relate to some of the themes of the movie, specifically about being a parent, about divorce, about guilt in how you're raising your kid and feeling like you failed yourself or you failed them, feeling shame. Like, these are all emotions we all kind of go through. And I connected to the movie. And I think one of the sad things about the way we talk about films or art in general, how we talk about creativity is often literal. This is a deeply literal movie, but it also has things to offer if you engage with it in any kind of way. But I think people look at any film they go to, especially movies that are prestige films, and they say, if it doesn't conform to exactly what I think and it doesn't make me feel good every single second, I'm going to set it on fire. And I hate it.
Right.
And I would rather engage with this kind of stuff honestly and with empathy toward the filmmakers. Granted, these filmmakers are often white men who are very wealthy and don't need my empathy. But if I'm not an empathetic person going to a movie, if I'm not thinking about what the filmmaker's trying to say or hoped to say, then why am I bothering with it? I might as well just go see Black Panther again. You know, I want movies to move me in a real way. And I think there are things to like about The Whale, even though it can be very stupid and very offensive to certain people. I mean,
the fact that it's about a large person and called The Whale is...
And also not starring someone who is that.
Yeah.
It's like a fat suit.
Guys, I don't know if you know this, but it's a metaphor. He's not really a whale. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, he's not really a whale? Okay.
Hold up, dude. I thought Free Willy was going to be in this.
Yeah. But it does turn out people are amazing. So, yeah.
People are amazing.
Now that's going to be stuck in my head. I'm going to make that my alarm. I will say that I was thinking about this with the discussion of Everything Everywhere All at Once. I loved that movie. I thought it was amazing. That I do think there was a lot of criticism from white people who couldn't relate. And part of what I was thinking about it today was obviously there are aspects of movies that you like and aspects you don't like. And I don't know why exactly what you said, we have to have everything be perfect, because people aren't perfect and art isn't perfect, but there can be things that make you feel something different. And also not everything has to be for you. If something is harmful, I understand criticizing it, and The Whale in those ways is very harmful. But if something isn't harmful and it's, you just thought it was corny or cringe or whatever people were tweeting about Everything Everywhere all at Once, just leave it. Let people be cringe. That's not harmful. You know what I mean? It's fine.
People are criticizing that movie now because
I think it's because it got lauded so much.
Right. Okay.
It's finally being accepted. Michelle Yeoh being the first.
So there's got to be a backlash.
Yeah. So there's a backlash, and it tends to be a racist backlash. You know, of course. It's from white people, and they're like, I can't relate. It doesn't look like me. So I think, and then they kind of try to come up with other reasons other than race.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think there's that now. So there's discourse about it, and I'm like, whatever, I enjoyed it and I had fun and I moved on, you know?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's true that people aren't amazing.
Some people aren't amazing. I think, there is so much art being created and so much to consume that I think people are looking for an excuse to hate something or not like something. And then you pair that dynamic of from the consumer end with the critical or just word of mouth critical element of every time you say you like something, it's a risk. It's very easy to just be one of 10 people to be I don't really like that because blah, 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 you know? So staking your claim to something, I actually don't agree with that. I don't think it is a risk. I'm not more likely to judge someone harshly for a recommendation than I am for them saying that they hated something that I loved. But I do feel like people are just guarded, and they're like, I don't want to be vulnerable and say I liked this thing, you know?
I also think that is very true in terms of social currency. But I also think a lot of takes are actually physically, financially monetized. You know what I mean? So if you're making controversial statements, or if you dislike something, you can legit earn money off of that through social media, you know? So it's easy to people want to have a take and jump in on the discourse and make money off of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be way more successful if I said absolutely ridiculous things all the time. And when I wake up in the morning, I have a choice to make every day, right, which is, do I want to be a complete soulless shill for horrible things, or do I want to just be a normal guy? And I choose normal guy most of the time.
I'm this close to choosing Shill, okay? I'm so close.
That's what capitalism does to you. It puts you it nails you against a wall.
Makes you it seem like the adult responsible thing to do.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, okay? I am a queer brown woman, all right? I could sell out so easily to the right. You know, I would be so good at it.
There would be shockwaves.
There would be.
Candace Owens is so powerful in conservative media because she stands out and she can be that person that someone drags in and says, look, see, she doesn't mind police violence against unarmed citizens. And she's black.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just like black police officers. They cover up all the things that nobody wants you to see.
Yep. That's right. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
And we're back, and as we're recording this, we still haven't seen, I don't think they've released the video of the five police officers beating Tyre Nichols to death, but just generally, like, I don't know, it feels like we're at a moment that everyone is girding themselves for that, and we're getting some reporting on the context. By the time you hear this, the video's probably been released, but one of the articles I just wanted to highlight is about the unit that they were a part of. And we see this a lot. Like, we saw it with the Gun Trace Task Force in Baltimore. These cops were a part of a unit of 40 officers who were designed to stop violence. And the acronym they gave themselves as a unit for such a benign peacekeeping mission was Scorpion, Street Crimes Operation to Restore Peace in Our Neighborhoods Unit. Because what sends a message that you are looking to gain the trust of the community better than, like, the antagonist from that Aesop's fable, the about a fucking, you know, someone who is trusted for one
character.
Yeah, it's a Mortal Kombat character. It's the thing that, like, the person in the Aesop's Fable trusts for 1 second, and they're like, "Well, what the fuck did you expect?"
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just, we've gotten a lot of really hard to refute evidence that maybe the police are a bad idea over the past year. We're going to keep getting it. And just the way that the mainstream media metabolizes this evidence is the problem. Like, it, or it's a huge part of the problem. Like, they don't stop and look at it often enough. The cops in the subway shooting, like, running away from danger and telling people close by to call 911 was just echoed by a video where someone fell onto the subway tracks and a bunch of citizens jumped down to lift them up to safety while a cop stood on the side and, like, waved his flashlight at any trains that might have been coming because, you know, someone had to do that, but he picked the cush job in that scenario.
He was doing that so casually, too. He was, like, taking breaks and stuff. And, like, I was like, what is happening?
But it's, as long as the mainstream media responds to any, so this Scorpion Task Force was a response to murder rates in Memphis going up after the pandemic. And the way that that, you know, rise in crime was covered by the mainstream media was a fucking crime in and of itself. When you actually go back and look, like, people actually did the work to see what was happening, and they found that a lot of these programs, these social programs and public schools were frozen for a long period of time. And those are things that are there to keep people doing things as a community and, you know, interacting and doing productive things. And when those things all stopped, there was a rise in the murder rate. And the mainstream media's analysis of the rise in the murder rate was that the police feelings were hurt. And that's why there was a rise in the murder rate. Like, that is ultimately what their version came down to. Because, like, any, they also said that it was because they got defunded, which didn't happen. Like, any defunding was ultimately minimal. So, I don't know. I just, as we're experiencing the coming news cycle, like, I just want to be conscious of the fact that this is going to start a new conversation about defunding the police, and it's going to be treated as, or what? What else could we possibly do? You know, this is the only thing that we have, is creating these, like, task forces that are like the troop surges in Iraq, like, where they just, like, send people in to be, like, extra violent and send extra people in and, like, fund the police. And it's like, I just want everybody to keep in mind, like, that is not what the data says. That's not what any of the evidence suggests works. And we have, like, so we're just being fucking bombarded with evidence constantly that that's the case. Like, policing, doubling down on policing doesn't fucking work.
It's, and that's, like, bad. It's disgusting. It's really sickening that it feels like George Floyd died. We went through everything that summer trying to, like, defund the police, and now they've just taken this narrative and said that we have when we haven't, and that's why, you know, it's like, it's kind of like the right being like, oh, this is what the world has come to, and you're like, yeah, this is what capitalism has made the world. You can't just say it's socialism, you know, you can't just say that it's the opposite of what it is, because, like, the numbers do speak to the fact that funding police actually causes more violence. It raises, like, crime rates. When the NYPD was on strike, crime rates fell in other cities, and, like, you know, in Massachusetts, I think there was, like, a police station that was, like, disbanded, and crime rates fell. Like, it all points to defunding the police and funding social services as actually stopping, like, violence. If you want to stop, like, people from dying, you cannot fund a cop city in Atlanta. You cannot fund all of these so-called, like, training organizations or militarize the police and have no repercussions. Because the reason they're acting like this, the reason that they're able to, you know, kill Black people, unarmed people on the street, or even in their homes, like with that disabled man that happened like recently, he came out with his hands up and they shot him as soon as he opened the door.
Yeah.
The reason that they're acting like this is because they have guns and they have tanks and they have gangs, as described in, you know, from Knock LA about the LAPD. You know, like, they have the protection of the system. And if you keep funneling money into it, they're never going to stop. This is domestic terrorism. That's what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to talk about all the times when police officers don't do what they're supposed to do. Right. The subway guy, you know, where's the bravery? Where were the brave police officers in Uvalde?
They weren't. Uvalde is a great example. Yeah. That I should have included.
There was a Supreme Court case that justified that they do not have to prevent crime or like act when crime is happening. That's why that Parkland officer was allowed to run away with like no repercussions. That is not their job. They are protected by law to not do the job that we are using our tax dollars to pay them to do.
Yeah.
It comes down to power dynamics, right? When you have the power, when you have the upper hand and you can use that power to commit crimes, you're going to. And when you don't have power, when you are required to be fully selfless, to be brave, to be a protector, you're not going to do it, because you got into the police force not to be brave. You got into the police force to have power. And right. We have continued in media, entertainment, to propagate the narrative that police officers are awesome. And isn't it cool to be a cop? You know, you turn on Chips in the 70s and it's like, wow, they get to wear sunglasses and ride around on a motorcycle. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Or like Starsky.
Turn on
Hutch.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Uh-huh. You know? And it's like, this is the greatest job.
Yeah.
But we don't see the heroism that is the hallmark of selflessness, is to give yourself for someone that you don't know, a stranger. That's what it should be about, is protecting people. But it is not about that. It is a social club for people with no empathy.
Yeah.
I think another telling thing is, like, the more you dig into all of these points that we make, the more insidious it gets. Like, the number of, you know, like, cops get to, the reason that there's so many cop shows is because of that deal that they have where they, you know, people can use cop precincts and things to, like, or, you know, cop, I want to say accessories almost, but like cars, things like that, in order to film, and they can do it for free. It's like a deal with media. And in the same way that mainstream media, in terms of reporting, is on the cop side, they just take these police reports and run with them, despite knowing that they've lied over and over again whenever there's video, you know? And sometimes when there is video, they still lie about it, you know? So it's like, it's insane that they just get this freebie and this benefit of the doubt. And I will say that the people who do exhibit that selflessness and that visceral ability to sacrifice themselves and their lives to protect people are the ones fighting against cops. Like Roy Wood Jr. just on The Daily Show did an a report about Cop City and the people who are organizing against Cop City. And they're literally living in the forest. And, you know, people have Torto Vita, you know, was killed by an environmental activist, was killed by cops during the protests and trying to protect and prevent Cop City from being built in Atlanta. And they're like literally living, all of those people are like literally living in the forest. They've disguised their voices and their faces. They at any point could become victims of the system, because we know cops target people who protest against them. And that those people are like actually putting their lives on the line, because they don't have, you know, tanks and guns and everything. And they're literally going up in a fight against those people who do, in order to protect the environment, protect the community, make sure a Black and Brown community isn't invaded by this insane training center, or the, you know, cops aren't further militarized. It's wild how the media paints those people.
Yeah,
it's crazy for actually standing up and doing something after years.
You have these amazing underdog stories, like built in to the reality, to the power dynamics of the civilization you were making media for. And you like still bend over backwards to like make stories that like center the police as the protagonist. It's fucked. And just like it definitely doesn't make narrative sense. It doesn't make for like good storytelling. But there's just a lot of inertia there. There's a lot of like institutional, you know, inertia. And yeah, you get the cool, you get to borrow police cars and drive around and run the siren on your movie or whatever. Accessories. I like it. They love accessories. The police.
This is a flair.
Their little costumes. They think they're special flair. With their little costumes.
Yeah. Mm-mm. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about some bullshit.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change? Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
And we're back, and I don't know if this is a huge development, but it feels like it could be. Like the more I think about it, so Meta is welcoming Trump back onto, like, they're going to allow him back on their platform because he asked, like, his campaign petitioned Meta to unblock his accounts and argued that the ban on him that happened on after the January 6th attacks has, they said, dramatically distorted and inhibited the public discourse, which is wild because that's like a perfect description of what his presence on social media did for like all the years that he was the president, essentially. And Meta just agreed and were like, oh, they asked, so we kind of got to let them back on. But they also announced that they have new guardrails in place. And according to Meta's vice president of global affairs, if Trump keeps posting violating content, it will be removed and he will be suspended again.
And he's literally doing that, but on Truth Social right now.
Yeah, he just does it. Like, that's the thing. People are like, yo, stopping. We don't have to imagine what he's going to post. He just like created a like Shadowland version of like social media where he has continued to do the exact same thing. except now he is a full believer in the death cult that he is like the godhead of. It's like really scary. That's like a big, like things have not gotten better since he was banned. He started doing those speeches with like the big orchestral, like swelling music that like comes from the QAnon soundtracks, like these QAnon mixtapes that they were selling that are like very popular,
available on SoundCloud.
Yeah, no, like literally CDs that you can buy.
Wild,
where they just like stole music from different places. But he, like, at one point, like this music starts swelling up, like as he was delivering a speech, and it was like QAnon music, and his audience was like giving the Q salute, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll, you know, we'll put a content warning if he's, you know," like they're basically saying, and they also said, for borderline posts and for rule breaking content that it deems newsworthy, the posts will stay up, but Meta may also remove the reshare button for those posts or stop the post from being recommended. So he's literally allowed to violate their own content rules if it's newsworthy, which it is by definition, because he is the former president who leads a death cult that like a terrifying percentage of the country believes in.
But it's also so funny. They're like, if he does something newsworthy on our platform, which we are allowing him to do by letting him back on our platform, we'll allow it to stay up. Like, bro, just don't make him make news. Like, what are you doing?
It is both less a guardrail than a sneeze guard, and also a little bit like trying to put guardrails on the Titanic as it's sinking. Like, it's just so, yeah.
I also, like, I want to have a life where I have such influence that like $1 billion companies have to make special rules for me, you know? They have to let me in and make special rules, because that's how hard I've cuffed them, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's a perfect storm of disaster, because Trump is obviously flailing with this campaign so far. It's bizarre that he announced so quickly, but I imagine it was for the purposes of fundraising, because that's the number one grift of Donald Trump's world, which is fundraising. And also Meta, Facebook, is not a particularly relevant place for conversation anymore.
That's right.
And it feels like
that's right.
A death rattle for that platform. And so when they look at the numbers and they say, oh, you know, we're hemorrhaging money, nobody cares about the metaverse, this is a complete waste of time, you know, places like TikTok are eating our lunch, what do? We bring back Donald Trump, because that ups engagement. He's going to buy ads across the platform to reach the audience that he still has, which is primarily on places like Facebook. It worries me. Like, anything that Donald Trump does worries me, obviously, because we lived through his presidency. But at the same time, it does feel like one of these, like, kind of last ditch efforts on both sides to rescue the relevancy of things that were relevant a decade ago.
Right. Yeah.
It's like the end of The Notebook, where they hold hands and die together, but it's like the dark version of
that. It's Facebook. It's Mark Zuckerberg.
It's so beautiful. And Trump. The true loves of like insurrection and insurrection creator, you know?
Yeah, it's really sad to watch on both sides. And I at least have some kind of hope that because Facebook is already so desperately lame, that it will continue to wither away because of this decision.
I can totally see the internal argument and like how it was framed. I also have for a while now had my eye on Mark Zuckerberg as like the next big domino to fall in the like formerly center, like mainstream media darlings who like basically embrace open fascism, because he's got all the ingredients. Like, he behaves like a fascist while still saying the right things for the most part. So that's like one symptom that he's going to ultimately just come out as fascist. He's been like vilified by the sort of neoliberal mainstream that used to like think he was pretty cool. So he probably like feels very hurt by that, because he was like getting something from that before and then it went away. And he's also a billionaire and is like you know, it's either realized that like having that much money is basically a crime at this point because of like all the problems that are facing the world, or you become a fascist and like embrace one of the many philosophies that are like available to you that allow you to, you know, just be like, and it turns out I am the hero of this narrative.
I don't know. Mark Zuckerberg is pretty pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
He's too much of a weasel. I just think he's too much of a weasel to ever really be popular in those circles. I don't think he has the charisma or the shamelessness of the truly successful fascists out there. Elon Musk is a perfect example of a guy who's just like, I'm desperate for attention. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg wants attention. I think he eats some sort of white gruel paste every morning and powers up and then powers down before bed and doesn't really have any sort of understanding of human nature or what, you know, people think about him. I just think he's like an alien. And so
I think he does.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I think he does want attention. Otherwise, why would he leak that sweet martial arts video that made us all so thirsty? You know what I mean? I feel like he's not doing it the way Elon Musk is. Elon Musk is like, please love me under like every right wing person's tweets. And
I actually think I'm pretty funny. So
yeah, that's interesting. But I'll look into
people
it.
People are amazing.
He's never once uttered that. He thinks he's people never, are fucking pathetic.
Yeah. But I think like Zuckerberg is not looking to come out at a Dave Chappelle show. I think Zuckerberg is like, I'll just be like, you know, like the nerdy nice guy that like people overlook, but like I'm like getting totally ripped. I'm working on my tan on this like like what is it? What did he do? Like windsurfing thing, you know? Yeah. He's just like, I'm gonna be like the cool billionaire, you know, that doesn't go through a divorce.
Yeah.
You know? I think he still wants to be liked. But
not in the same way that Elon Musk does.
Not in the same way, no.
Yeah, he's going to be posting feed on the racial chats.
Anyways,
that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, I feel like the Winklevoss twins would have been more overt with it, you know, more of that charisma you were looking for.
Oh, for sure.
But
yeah. If the Winklevoss twins had won that, we would all be like in prison camps now. Yeah. So anyways, another big indicator, like as Dave, you mentioned, like Trump and his campaign entities have spent $157 million on Meta since 2018. Like that was between 2018 and like when he was banned. So he's the number one political ad buyer. And there's a reason for that. Those ads are super fucking targeted and really good at reaching people. And, you know, you can spread, like, I think one of the ads that got banned was like him using Nazi like imagery in his ads, and they were like, whoa, that's a bridge too far. And he's like, well, I've used it across 100 ads. Like,
what is that, like, months. That email interaction? Like, you know, when you like violate a Twitter terms of service or whatever, and they're like, hey, Polyby, we're worried about your mental health. Like, are you okay? And you're like, appeal. I'm going to kill myself, just not now, you know? But like, what do they do that? Like, does he get an email that's like, hey, it violates community guidelines that you said you love Nazis? And he's like, I'm going to appeal this. I did say that and it is on video, but I am going to appeal this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
Yeah, since when is love not a part of the terms of service? Uh-oh, that's against the terms of service to love something?
Organized community, you know?
We just have a little group. We get together and we light a pyre and we march around for a little bit. What's the problem?
In the case of, you know, using Nazi imagery, but doing it while paying Facebook, the thing that needs to happen is that like a bunch of people have to call it out in the media for them to then be like, oh, we really hate to do this. And then there's probably some like really like glad handy emails back and forth being like, oh, guys, this is probably a mistake and totally, you know, well-intentioned, but you've been using Nazi symbolism in your ads constantly.
Oh, faux pas. It's like you have spinach in your teeth, but Nazi symbolism in your ad.
We'll give you 40 days to get back to us on this one.
It really is like like up to the advertisers to pull out, you know, like, and those people aren't going to do it unless there's outrage with, you know, like this citizens, you know, like, yeah, unless there's outrage with the people. So it takes like it's a whole like tiered thing of like, okay, we have to like threaten the advertisers to threaten these social media giants to get, you know, this fucking hate speech off in front of our screens.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem, that most people will never see that stuff. It's
exactly
targeted to the people that it will Racist. Work the most effectively on. Yes. Yeah. The algorithm knows you're really going to like this imagery from Triumph of the Will, so we're going to feed it to you. So I will never see it. I'm not on Facebook, so I'm not even interacting with people who have seen it, which means that there is a whole other ecosystem. There's a whole other world where this stuff is being pumped into your brain. And that's the thing that I find the most insidious about Facebook. If Mark Zuckerberg tomorrow said that he thinks that Jewish people, he's Jewish, if Jewish people were terrible and need to be put into camps, that might be better for the world, because then we would be able to say this is bad. One of the great things about Elon Musk is that he is so terrible at his job, which is the figurehead of a company, that we can all point to the stupid stuff that he says. We can all look at how right-wing and hateful he really is deep down. You can't do that with Mark Zuckerberg. You can't do that with Facebook or Meta or whatever the company is called now, because it treats itself as completely politically neutral. It says, we don't believe in any of the things that are on our platform. We take no responsibility for what is on our platform. We have a responsibility to the shareholders. We have a responsibility to make money. And so that allows them to whitewash everything. And it can seem banal. It can seem non-threatening. It can be, we're not called Facebook anymore. Now we're called Meta, and we have this metaverse. And actually, this company is really exciting. And it's about community. It's not about community. Yeah. It's about propaganda foisted onto people, paid propaganda, which is the worst thing, because the people with the most money have the most access to the megaphone. That's scary to me. Scarier than him being a right-wing guy is him being just completely focused on money.
That is true. But I think like one of the things, a few different things, like the metrics don't even prove that they're neutral beyond like the theory of like, saying all of this hate speech versus we want to feed and house and educate people. That's itself not neutral. You know what I mean? Like if you look at the two sides of it. But in addition to that, the metrics show that like, you know, the like right-wing posts are being shown to more people in a more targeted way. And like people on the left are like, don't have their posts like promoted as well, I guess, or even like suppressed sometimes. I think they had like a news story on that, like within the last year. But
reality is different from perception.
Yeah, yeah.
The reality is 100% what you're talking about. The perception is, we're Facebook. It's a place for you to post photos of your kitty. And so as long as the perception remains neutral, people will not be upset the way that they should be, the way that they're upset about Twitter, because it is out in the open and it says this is what it's supposed to be. So I want them to be more upfront about it. I want them to be saying these things and being clear about what this platform is for.
I mean, it's the same back to the cops thing, right? It's all about branding and perception.
Yeah. Like yep. All right. Well, Dave, truly a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm still on Twitter. I hate to say it, but I'm still there because I don't know what else to do with my life. I'm at Dave_Schilling for the time being. You can follow me on Instagram at DWSchilling if you want to see pictures of my son, which is, I guess I should probably start deleting those. I don't want people following him around. And I'm still writing for the LA Times. So if you have style, interests, needs, curiosity, please read me in the LA Times.
There you go. And is there a tweet or some other work of media, social media, that you've been enjoying?
Oh boy. I'll go back to the whale. And anytime somebody posts a photo of him on the Zoom in the movie teaching his class, I kinda chuckle. Not because he is playing a larger person, but because of how ridiculous the makeup is and the faces that he makes in this film, it feels like Dick Tracy sometimes. So anytime there's a meme with Brendan Fraser and the whale in it, I will laugh. I don't have one in particular. I just love the fact that they did this movie, that the makeup is nominated for an Oscar, and he looks like a cartoon man.
Yeah. That's Aronofsky, nice. Right?
That is, yes. It's sort of kind of a sibling to The Fountain in a way, I think. If you like The Fountain, you might like this movie. Way less science fiction in The Whale, sadly. There's no spaceships or time travel in this one. But yeah, he's I like a lot of his movies. I think The Wrestler is probably his best film. But he is not a subtle guy. And this is not a subtle movie.
The subtlety of Requiem for a Dream.
Well, yeah, he just gets a big double ended dildo and whacks you over the head with it for 2 hours. You. Ass to ass, he says. Anyway, I just want to depart by saying one more time, people are amazing.
Pallavi, where can people find you, follow you, and is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
I'm Pallavi Ganalan everywhere, and I've been watching, okay, so I do have a tweet, but I have been watching a lot of like 90s movies, like, and a lot of like, you know, like Julia Roberts, Hugh Grant. I'm going to go back into Brendan Fraser's catalog, but I just watched Boomerang for the first time, like 90s, 80s stuff, and I enjoyed it. I mean, sure, it's hella homophobic and transphobic, but yeah, that's something that I had to turn my brain off for whenever watching anything from comedians of that time, but I enjoyed the rest of the movie, if I, you know, blacked out that part. But one tweet that I do want to talk about. Okay, so Chris D'Elia posted on his Instagram or something his ugly ass face, and then he said, catch Chris D'Elia in New York on February 18th, 2023. And then my friend Mohanad El-Sheikhi, M-O-H-A-N-A-D-E-L-S-H-I-E-K-Y, posted that screenshot and said, yeah, I hope they do catch you. You know?
Catch me.
Get he's on the loose.
How about that?
I hate these rapists. Y'all get them off these streets.
Yeah. Chris Hansen descends from the ceiling.
Yeah.
from To Catch a Predator. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember that when show? He would descend from the ceiling. They definitely should have done that.
A just Mission like Impossible
WWE
version.
Style. Yeah, just like the guys. Like
Batman crashing through
opening
a
the
skylight.
Doritos he brought for his child victim. And like Chris, what's his name? Like descends slowly from, behind him. I've been enjoying just some tweets, some simple statements that have been tweeted out by celebrities. Yesterday, I enjoyed that Sandra Bullock tweeted, I was so scared when we were making Gravity. And then,
he's really up there in space.
Yeah. Like,
that made me
what?
Laugh so much. I was like, I've been watching her movies. I love her.
Yeah. I do too. She's so good in The Lost City. What a star. Wiz Khalifa just tweeted, I'm just starting to realize how funny the granddad from The Simpsons is.
And oh, yeah, I retweeted that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I loved it. I just,
It's, you know, it's been 30 years, but my man finally came around to Abe
to
Simpson.
Abe. Big Abe.
Too many Abe haters out there.
Yeah.
Abe's one of the best Simpsons characters of all time.
Oh, yeah. Truly. Some of my favorite.
That gif of him like walking into
in.
The ladies and then walking out.
That might be.
That's I use that all the time.
That and Homer backing into the bushes might be my two favorite Simpsons gifs. Like,
amazing.
And not like I'm not like, and I, these are my secret favorites. Those are probably also the two most popular ones or two most commonly used, but they're used for a reason. They're both
solid,
beautiful. And also Rajat Suresh tweeted, what is a good male acting performance where he is Borat? Which I just thought was
funny.
Did
you pick the sequel or did you pick the original?
I picked the TV show, actually.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
There you go.
Do people know about that HBO TV show where he was Borat?
The Ali G show?
Yeah. Like, do people.
Yes, that was where it all started.
Yeah.
I know. But, like, do I feel like that's due for like young people being like, yo,
have you seen this on TikTok? Yeah. It just becomes a dance trend.
Yeah, the new Seinfeld or Friends or The Office.
Like, I do think that like a lot of people don't know where, like I have been rewatching Seinfeld and have not realized like how many pop culture references come from that show. Yeah. And so I feel like people are starting, there are probably a lot of young people who are like, my wife, and have no idea why they're saying it, you know?
Yeah,
there's a whole legion of people who were like, did you see that Frasier from the show Frasier was on a show about a bar? Oh my God.
That's so weird
seeing him drink beer.
Yeah. It makes me happy. They shouldn't know everything, you know, let them know what they know now. And then, yeah. And you know,
and I'm not one of the people who like gets frustrated when they find out and they're like, have you heard of Cheers? I'm not like, yes, you fucking idiot.
You're ruining like, yeah. my life.
I'm so happy that you're experiencing this.
You've got all this time and you're not spending it watching old television shows. You absolute piece of shit.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
So I've just been listening to these short little TikTok songs that, you know, pop up. They're like a minute and a half. And this one came across my radar. This is comedian and rapper Zach Fox. He was on another show I work on, My Mama Told Me. Sipping My Tea, incredible song. There's like the jokes per second are astounding. It made me laugh like several times, and the beat is fire. So this is Zach Fox, Sipping My Tea, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
All right, thank you, Justin. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.